The story of Moses' life, and in verse 37 he says, "This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear." Moses said that God will raise up a prophet similar to me that you will listen to. The people didn't listen very well to Moses, but Moses was a picture in many ways of Christ. The Bible tells us that he was the meekest man on the face of the whole earth. And there are some interesting things about Moses. Numerous ways he pictures Christ, and we've looked at that in past times that I've been here for Sunday school. And it's interesting to me, Moses is mentioned more in the Bible than any other man besides Christ. Over 784 times by name specifically, and dozens of other times in reference without his name being mentioned. The closest second to that is Abraham at less than 300, I think. The Bible puts a lot of focus on Moses, not to give credit to Moses, but because he was a picture of Christ. And the work that he did was important work. We're just going to look briefly at a couple of ways that he pictured Christ. Beginning, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." In a similar fashion, Moses gave up all of his glory as the son, the grandson of Pharaoh, and the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He laid aside all the glory that pertained to him, all the riches, all the blessings, all the ease of life. Everything that pertained to him, he laid that all aside for God's people. Very similar to the fact that Jesus Christ left glory behind to come to this earth, to become a man, humbled himself. And that's exactly what Moses did. He humbled himself. And the Bible says that he was the meekest man on the face of the whole earth. His position that was given to him as a boy, he laid that completely aside. I mean, if we were to think about that, that's a pretty difficult thing to do. I would say that most of us would probably rationalize and say, well, it must be that God gave me this position that I would use it to deliver God's people. Perhaps I have this great power that someday when I'm king, then perhaps I can use this for the Lord. And this is how we justify things regularly in our lives. Oh, I can use this for the service of the Lord, or this will free up time, or this will free up money. And it frees up time and money that we use usually for other things other than the Lord. But we justify things that way. Oh, we can use this for ministry, or I can use this to maybe talk to this person or that person. And we're really good at justifying things like that. But Moses hazarded all of those seeming advantages to serve God's people. Another time that we see Moses very much exemplifying Christ is in Exodus. There's several accounts in the book of Exodus, and much of the story that we could read. But let's begin in chapter number 18. of my favorite accounts concerning Moses' life. He had been leading the people, and they had gotten through some trials and through some victories. They had fought with the Amalekites, and they had gotten past that, and Moses felt as though he could bring his wives along with him and his children along with him, and so his father-in-law brings them from Midian, and they come and meet up with him, and we'll begin reading that account in verse 13 of Exodus 18. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? And why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until even?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them to know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away." Notice that phrase there, "thou wilt surely wear away." Moses sat to judge the people from morning until night, every single day. Every single day, from morning to night. His father-in-law says, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Because they come, and they ask, and they need to know, and I tell them." And he said, "That you're not being wise, Moses. Thou will surely wear away. You cannot fill this office, Moses. This is not an office that you can fill all by yourself as a man." He desired to intercede for the people. He desired to do it personally. In this, we see the desire of Christ himself in interceding for God's people. The Bible says that he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And we see the desire. Moses could not fill that office. Jethro was very wise in telling him, "Thou wilt surely wear away." Christ won't, but a man certainly would wear away at bearing all the burdens of all of God's people. One man cannot do that. But we see the desire. He said, "The people come." He said, "Why do you do this?" Moses said, "Because they come, and I do it. And if you picture Christ in that making answer for why do you intercede for these people? Because they come. And he intercedes for us whenever we come to him. I want to move on to where I really want to focus. One of the most blessed things that I see concerning Moses we find in Exodus chapter 32. And this one absolutely amazes me. Pastor made reference to it on Wednesday night. And as we were driving home, my wife and I, we talked about this. And in Exodus 32, the people had sinned against God in a horrible way, committed abominations to God. And God was furious. And Moses, seeking to intercede for the people, we begin reading in Exodus 32 and verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold." They'd committed idolatry. They'd turned their back on the Lord to serve other gods. And Moses is pleading with God for these people. He says, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written." He said, "Lord, please forgive these people, and if not, blot me out of the book instead. Take my name out of the book of life instead." Pastor was preaching about love, and as I read that, I thought, what an extreme of love. As my wife and I were driving home Wednesday evening, I said to her, "Is there anybody that you could trade your salvation for?" I said, "Because I certainly couldn't think of anybody. I love a lot of people, or say that I love a lot of people and would give a lot of things to a lot of people. But could I say that I would trade my salvation for anybody? The grace of God upon my own soul, preserving me from eternal wrath. That's a serious matter to think about. And Moses loved these people in a way, in such a peculiar way, that he was willing to take hell for them. That's an amazing kind of love. I would say that I'm far from that kind of love. I do love God's people, would do most anything I could for God's people. But I could not say that at this point in my life, with regret, I would have to say that I have never attained to that place of love in my heart. Paul said the same thing in Romans chapter 9. He said concerning Israel, and Pastor read that as well, concerning his kinsmen, that he could wish that he were accursed from Christ for his kinsmen. That's an amazing thought to me. These are two people that really, really had the love of God in their heart. And maybe you can honestly answer that question and say, yeah, I would give my soul, not just for a day, but I would give my soul in eternity for my brethren. That's quite a statement to think about that. And we think about it in context of some of the best people that we know. Moses was saying this in the midst of their most horrible and gruesome rebellion, that he would give his soul for theirs. I mean, think of the people that have done the most spite to God's name and to the name of Home Missionary Baptist Church. And could you say, I would give my soul for theirs? Lord, if you would put them on this pew here for the rest of their days, I'd give my place and I'd give my soul if you would bring theirs in. And if you would set them down and cause them to worship your name, I would give my place if you would do that. We say that we want to see people saved and we want to see people's lives blessed and we want revival and we want people to come back. But do we really like Moses and Paul? In this, we see that Moses was a most excellent picture of Christ, because Christ was the only one who really could put his soul in exchange for another person's soul. He was the only one that could do that. God told Moses in verse 33, "The Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. No man can take the place of another man. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that, and that is what he did for us on the cross." Isaiah chapter 53, if you'll turn there. You might say, well, I don't think these men knew what they were saying. I think if anybody knew what they were saying, it would be Moses and Paul concerning this matter. Isaiah 53 and verse 4, prophecy concerning Christ, we all know it very well. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep are gone astray, we've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Notice that phrase, his soul an offering for sin. We see all the gruesomeness on the outside of the cross. Historians often write of the gruesomeness, and people try to paint the gruesomeness of the outside of the cross. But what we could not see in those hours of darkness was when his soul was made an offering for sin. Was the time in which he placed his soul in the place of ours in suffering our eternal weight of sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He, that's God, shall see the travail of his soul, that's Christ, and be satisfied. He shall see and measure the weight of our punishment upon his soul in those dark hours and be satisfied. Satisfied on my behalf and on your behalf for the sin that was on our souls. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. In those hours, bore our sins. Therefore will I divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because, notice, he hath poured out his soul unto death. It wasn't just a physical suffering that happened there on that cross, but he poured out his soul. We can't even fathom the weight of eternal punishment. It's hard for me to fathom how that Moses and Paul even got to the place where they said, I'll trade mine. But as we travel on our journey of becoming more and more like Christ, that is where we need to get. To where we look at the lost world around us and say, I will trade my soul for theirs. Lord, if you would let me, I would do that. But I know that you won't. How that ought to move us and motivate us as we measure ourselves by such an example. The example there of Moses and Paul, and how they became so much like Christ. It was their pursuit. Paul said in Philippians, and I really believe he attained it, though he claimed not to have attained it, in chapter 3, when he had said that he considered everything in this life dung, that he may win Christ and be found in him, in verse 9, he put everything aside, and we see his motive in verse 10. He says that, or so that, for this purpose. This is the purpose of my life, that I may know him. And notice what else he says, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul really wanted to, he really desired to understand the sufferings of Christ and be conformable unto his death. And I believe Paul was. I believe that it's evident in Romans 9 when he says that he was willing to be accursed. In other words, he was willing to have hell upon his life for the sake of others. That is being conformable unto the death of Christ. That is having the fellowship of his sufferings. In other words, when your life is in a place where you understand personally the sufferings of Christ, you take hardship and you just receive it in for the sake of Christ and for the sake of others. When you take discouragement, when you take mocking, when you take someone rejecting you or belittling you or harming you in some way emotionally or spiritually, and you just take it in and bear it. When life doesn't go your way and you just swallow it down whole and you just receive it. Remember what it said in Isaiah 53 over and over again. So he opened not his mouth. So he opened not his mouth. He didn't complain. He didn't say, oh, this is so hard. I mean, there's some things that I would do as a pastor, but I'm telling you all along the way, I'm going to tell you how hard it is. You know, I'll be the only one to shovel the sidewalks, but I'm going to tell you about it. It's the way I am. I'm going to tell you you're missing a blessing, and I'm going to tell you that, you know, that if you were a member at my church, that you should be out there. You know, I tend to let you know. That's kind of the way I am. But Jesus Christ and Moses as well, when we see his leadership, he just took it. It was very rare that Moses, one time, he lost his control about him. But Paul, and we see here in this verse how that he really desired to have suffering in common with Christ. That's fellowship. That's what fellowship means. To have that same kind of suffering in common with Christ and understand Christ's love and understand Christ's life by living that same thing in his life. Swallowing down suffering, swallowing down pain for the sake of the salvation of others. This is true Christ-likeness. This is the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable to his death. And we'll stop with those thoughts, but I just was challenged by thinking about the love that both Moses and Paul had towards wicked people. I mean, not righteous people, not top-notch people, you know. I'll give body parts for top-notch people. But I don't know too many people that I'll give my soul for. I love my children, but I can't fathom giving my eternity with Christ away. But Moses and Paul were willing to do that, and Christ was willing to be forsaken of the Father. That's an incredible thing to think, that Christ was willing to be forsaken of the Father for us. We'll stop there and be dismissed in a word of prayer.